you are drawing a line in the sand. I want to be standing by your side, holding your hand.
Oh, yes.
So let your kingdom come, let it live in me. This is my prayer, this is my plea.
Let the worshipers arise, let the sounds of the Lord cease. I'm surrendering my all
to you, my Lord.
Keep
me. I hear it grow. The song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing.
Oh, sing it to him,
from our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is our song, a song to the King.
Let the worshipers arise. Let the sons of the daughters.
The song of the redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King.
I was out walking this afternoon, and out on old Cold Buffalo Creek. I wasn't walking in the creek, but I saw the creek. And Brother Terry, there was some ducks sitting on that Cold Buffalo Creek. And they were just as comfortable as they could be. I just thought, if that was me, I'd be dead right now. But that's a God-given nature for them ducks to enjoy that cold old water. And you know, here's a cold Wednesday night on the outside. But aren't you glad it's a God-given nature that makes you want to come to His house? Aren't you glad for that? Do you appreciate that from the Lord? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise tonight if He loves you. It's much easier to stay home when it's this cold. And I know elderly folks, they suffer to get out in this kind of weather. But I appreciate the privilege of coming to the house of the Lord. It's certainly an honor and a privilege that we don't want to take lightly. But we want to cherish every service that we have together. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Sharon Ward. She is sick, not feeling well at all. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer. I want to pray for Brother Robert Marrero's mother. She's been very sick, problems in her bones. So they're asking that we would pray for her. Sister Victoria Thomas called to request prayer for Richard Hansen. Don Fouch. I hope I got that name close to right. Mary Lou and Kenneth Hammond, all of her friends who are in need of prayer. They're asking that we remember those folks tonight as we pray. Jessica Jones sends this in to please pray for Lincoln Keith, my grandfather, who has been admitted to the hospital with double pneumonia. He also is suffering from third-degree black lung, so they're asking that we would remember that man in prayer tonight. Also, please pray for my mother, Brenda Jones, that she be guided by the Lord in deciding whether or not to apply for a job opportunity that has presented itself. So that she just asks him for the leadership of the Lord. I want to pray for the son of Evelyn Fairclough, who has given his heart to the Lord, but is oppressed by the enemy in many various different ways. So let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Ruth Dean's family wants to thank the church for their continued prayers. She is doing better and back at the nursing home. Also, the ones that came to sing to her, she wants to thank them. Remember her roommate, Willow, in the hospital. So let's remember Sister Ruth and those folks that are in the nursing homes, that the Lord would, Sister Mary Alice Hammett, just pray that the Lord would bless those folks. Just precious little people, aren't they? Amen. Sister Jane Terrell says that my brother and sister and I have a very important decision to make very soon, and we would appreciate the church to help us pray that God's will would be done. So let's ask the Lord to help them. Please remember my sister Joanne, who has had cataract surgery. Sister Janet Payne sends that in. Please pray for an unspoken prayer request for Randy Walton. Let's remember that need tonight as we pray. Sister Lona Harris says to please remember my sister Peggy Williams in prayer. She called today from South Carolina and requested that the church would please remember her. She's trying to quit smoking, is really having a battle. She believes that if we will pray for her, that she will be delivered. So let's pray that the Lord would give her complete victory over that nicotine devil. God's able, isn't he? Amen. I want to pray for Brother Boaz Phillips. He's had strep for almost a month, and the medications are not working. He has other medical problems. We'd like for the saints to pray for the healing of his body. So let's remember that need tonight. Diane Whaley, she's requesting that we would remember her mother and father in prayer, both in the hospital. They're very sick, need a touch from the Lord. Brother Darrell Ward called just a while ago. He wants to thank you for praying. He wants to thank the Lord. There was no blockage found in his heart catheterization, so thank the Lord for that. No blockage at all found. Somebody say praise the Lord. They want to thank the Lord and praise God for getting a good report from the doctor. Sister Janet Barron, thanking the Lord for the doctor was able to take her off of two different types of blood pressure pills after 7 years. Don't need them anymore. Also, a checkbook that had been missing. She wants to thank the Lord that that has been found. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says, thank you for praying for Delina Carter. She was in the fourth stage of breast cancer. The doctors had her up walking yesterday. She says she is believing that she will have a total deliverance. Continue to pray. So let's remember that need tonight. The Ball family wants us to remember little Elijah Ball. He broke his arm at school today and is having surgery to put a pin in his arm at 7 p.m. tonight. So we want to pray that the Lord would be mindful of Elijah, that the Lord would just be with him. Brother Reese wants us to remember Clarence Coffey. He's in the Holston Valley Hospital, been in there for over 3 weeks. Brother Reese requested prayer for him about a week ago, and they're still asking that we would remember him in prayer. Also, if you would, continue to pray for Beulah and John Hambrick. John's still in the hospital, although he is at Quillen Rehab. I think he went in the hospital on November the 16th. And so it's been a long, long journey. And so just if you would remember those folks in prayer tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight. You believe we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems. Brother Harry, could you sing that second verse for us one more time of that song? We'll sing the chorus. Brother David, you come tonight if you would. Get ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. Let's sing it with all of our heart now.
Father, I hear it growing louder. The
song of your redeemed, as the saints of every nation are awakening to sing. From our hearts it comes
an
end. Oh, hear our praises ring. This is a song to the King.
Let the worshipers rise.
Let his sons and his daughters sing.
Let's just bow our hearts. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful, Lord, that when we come into this building tonight, Lord, we didn't come to worship Lord Wood or some idol, Lord, of clay. But, Lord, we're so thankful that we come to worship the living God. As we hear your prophets say, Lord, this week that we need to lift you up out of history. We didn't come, Lord, just to worship, Lord, some great story. It took place many years ago, but, Lord, the story's still alive tonight. And Lord, no doubt each request that's been written, Lord, they wrote them down, believing that when we would pray, our prayers would be answered. Lord, as the church of the living God, the redeemed, we stand before you today. We ask, Lord, that you would move upon each one of these requests. Lord, sickness is nothing to you. Lord, cancer is nothing to you. We ask, Lord, that you would just move upon these needs. And Lord, we're going to count on everyone as being done already. By faith, Lord, we reach out, Lord, and we take a vision of a body that is well. And we stand upon that promise, Lord. We ask now, Lord, that you would just move up each one. Father, may each one, I pray, hold that faith within their heart as we believe with them when bind together. We curse the enemy, Lord. We curse him from the bodies. We curse the sickness. We curse him from this building tonight. We pray, Lord, may there be liberty amongst your children, amongst the saints of God. Lord, we ask now, may this service, Lord, as we give it into your hands, Lord, may your will be done, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord tonight. If you're visiting with us, we certainly want to welcome you to this service. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming the service tonight, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let's sing a song tonight. He looked beyond my fault, and he saw my need. And he was big enough to do something about it. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Let's sing it if you will. I shall for never lift mine eyes to Calvary. Hold up you that cross where Jesus died for me.
That caught my falling soul.
It looked beyond all my faults, and he saw my need. Now sing with all your heart, church. Oh, I shall forever lift my
You sit down. Sister Tamika Brown got a song for us. She'll come at this time, give us a song. We'll go right on into the service. Brother John Horniak's going to be speaking for you tonight. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. We certainly appreciate Brother John. Last time he preached here, he blessed our heart, and I believe the Lord's going to use our brother again tonight. Amen. Let's enjoy Sister Tamika as she sings tonight.
Just a child when I felt the Savior's leading. I was drawn to what I could not understand. But for the cause of Christ, I have spent my days believing that what He had me be is who I am. As I come to see the weaker side of me, I realize His grace is what I need. When sin demanded justice for my soul, mercy said, thank you.
God bless you. If we could sing Jesus Use Me, if you wouldn't mind. Dear Lord, I'll be your witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm unworthy, Lord, of thee. Open eyes to faith, I see thee upon
a prayer now.
Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, I'll stand for thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. And if it be thy will, Lord, and oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, though the cost be great. The fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. Oh, the best of all, he is my coming King.
Hallelujah.
And oh Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble, though the cost be great.
Amen. There's a couple reasons why I do that. It helps me relax, and it gets you ready for me to preach. So, amen. If you would, let's turn our Bibles over to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. I've got a little thought, and I've preached it before, and it's knowing God's will, but waiting for his time. Amen.
knowing God's will, but waiting for His time. First Samuel 16, and we'll jump on down to let's start at verse 2. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, 'I am come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked upon Eliab, and said, "Surely the Lord anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look not at his countenance, nor his height of stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for a man looketh upon the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." Now let's skip down to verse 10. Again, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord hath not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all thy children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I stand behind this desk, Lord. A man humbled, Lord Jesus, in your presence, Father. And Lord Jesus, we come here tonight, Lord, not to entertain or not to be seen, Father, but that we might grow closer to you, Lord, and that we might have a greater understanding of you, Father. And Lord Jesus, that is impossible unless you come on the scene, Father. I pray that you would use these clipped lips of clay once again, Father. Help me to get out of the way. Help me to relax in your presence, Father, and may you speak to your people, Father. There are needs here tonight, Father. That's why we've gathered here, Lord. And Father, I've got a thought on my heart, and Lord, I think I know what you want me to say, Father. But if there be anything that's out of what my thoughts are, Father, which should be the whole sermon, Lord, but the needs, Lord, I'm here to preach, to get out of the way so you can preach to needs, Father. I pray that, Father, that the people would pool and I would get out of the way, Father. Lord, may I not only be submitted to you, but may also the people, Father. We love you and we thank you for it, Lord Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This story is very familiar to all of us, the way that David was chosen and the fact that Saul was put past God, and he had gone beyond what God wanted him to do, and he had lost God's blessing. And so Samuel was in an awkward position to start with. Here's the prophet. And if you read the first verse, God tells Samuel, he says, "How long are you going to grieve for Saul? He's already done. How long are you going to be grieving for Saul? Let's move on." So, and there was such a fear. He said, "I can't do anything about this. If Saul finds out that I'm going to anoint a new king, I'm going to be dead. That'll be it. I'm done." So here we have this atmosphere that's created by the fear of Saul. And we've got this time in Israel where Saul's got everybody under this oppression. And that's what happens when a prophet steps out of the bounds, or not a prophet, but a man steps out of the bounds of the word.
There comes an oppression upon the people. And it's felt. And there's no way that you can get around it. There's just a strain and a pull on the people. And God doesn't want His people in that atmosphere. God don't desire that His people feel a stress or a strain or a pull down. He wants them to be free. So He's going to do something about it. There's a movement towards for what God's will is. He's going to move His people from underneath an oppression and move them up higher in His Word. So as we move down, all the Bethlehem, when they see Samuel coming, they're getting a little nervous, and they've got this oppression and this nervousness about them, and Jesse all the elders are saying, "You come in peace." I mean, what's going on here? The prophet, don't just stop by. What's going on? And Samuel pulls aside Jesse. Now, Jesse has in his mind, he pulls Jesse aside and says, "Hey, I'm going to sanctify you, and there's going to be a king out of your family. And this has got to be a special boy. This has got to be somebody really special." But the special one that God chose wasn't even called. He was still out in the sheepfold. I don't know about you, but if something big happens in my family, the family knows. And the family comes. Jesse didn't even think enough of David to go out and call him from the sheepfold. So here's David with a complex already. He had to know that Papa didn't really think that he would amount to much. He had to know that for some reason, Daddy didn't think that there was much in David. Many, many times we're told the same thing. You ain't nothing. There ain't much to you. There's no reason why you even need to go to church. There ain't no reason why you even need to get out of the bed and try. There's no reason why we have to fight this battle over and over again. Papa don't even care. We've got all these other denominations. We've got all these other churches and all these other people. And the devil loves to get us looking at other people and all our brothers and sisters and how well they do and how well they stand up and how well they can live the word and how well that they seem to go through life so easily. There's no reason for us to even be invited. Oh, but the heavenly Papa, He's got a different vision. He said, "I've got a choice. I'm the one who really matters. I'm not worried about the eldest or the second eldest or the third eldest. I'm worried about the one. I'm worried about that one choice. I want one to be the king." Hallelujah. And so, Jesse has to go have a servant go get his son. And at this time, Jesse's going, "What's going on? What is this? What is this? You didn't like my first 7 son. You didn't like my favorites? Forget you. You might as well forget it." But Samuel says, "Look, We're not even going to sit down until we get this matter solved. I was sent here for a man. I was sent here for a time. I was sent here for a person, a specific person to be the king. And though there's oppression going on, and though we're under a dark cloud, and though things are hard, I have a king that is chosen. Hallelujah.
And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? Are here all thy children? Something ain't right. I know in the last days there is going to be a king and a priest. There's going to be a bride pulled out. Are these all your children? Are all the message people so far gone? Is that it? What's going on here? I know something funny is something funny is going on because I know that none of these are chosen. I don't care how you present it. I don't care how they parade before me. There's some that are just not chosen. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him.
Amen.
What's the problem?
Yeah.
I know. What's the deal?
Yeah.
I said, bring your sons, and you left one out.
Yeah.
So right away, we see that David's home life and his papa didn't have much respect for the word. Is that right? Because Samuel clearly stated, he said, bring forth your sons. I want your family. Bring forth your sons. He didn't say bring forth five of them or two of them. He said bring forth your sons. So we see now, I don't want to shed a bad light on Jesse, but it seems like he's doing it to himself. Am I way off on that? Is that right? For we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and he brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Wait a minute. Jesse said, ain't no pretty boy going to be my king. Jesse says, I got this fine, oldest, strapping young man. That's my boy. And you got this pretty boy coming up, and you're going to tell me he's going to be my king. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. He said, hey, I'm done here. Now, David's anointed. And he knows what he's anointed for. So he knows what God's will is for his life. Is that right? If he follows the word, then he knows what God's will is for his life. It's not an easy matter. Sometimes we hear, you're the bride. You're going to be made perfect.
Yeah. Amen.
How many believe that's the will for your life?
Amen.
Is that God's will for your life?
Yeah.
So you guys have an easy street, right? No problems, no questions. You don't ever scratch your head and wonder. But we know what God's will is. We know what God's will is for our lives. Now we're going to move over to chapter 17. I preach real simple. And I preach right out of the Bible.
Amen.
So just hang with me and keep your Bibles open and ready to go. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Chocla, or however you say that, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Sacoth and Azekah in And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there came out a champion of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. So, for the sake of time, we're just going to skip over all the description of Goliath. We know he was big and he was nasty. Big and nasty.
Amen.
Some of the trials I've been through lately. Some of the trials you've been through lately. Now let's jump over to verse 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near morning and evening and presented themselves 40 days. So this wasn't a short trial for Israel. This thing went on and on and on and on.
Amen.
And it's funny how things like Goliath can wear on you. 40 days.
Think about it.
Over and over. You wake up in the morning and staring right in your face.
Eat it, brother. Amen.
You throw the blanket off and it's still there. You go through your day and it's still there. And you're fighting and you're struggling. You're wondering, God, why?
Yes.
Why is this Goliath waiting for me in the valley?
Mm-hmm. Eat it, brother.
Why is it waiting for me in the valley?
Reach it now.
Let's jump down to verse 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went Jesse as he commanded him. And he came to the trench, and the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. So they were fighting. I mean, it wasn't like 40 days they sat on that side and 40 days, you know, and there was a valley and Goliath stepped out every morning and Israel just shivered in their chants. And no, they were fighting. They put the battle in array every day. Then Goliath would step out and Israel would run. So it sounds to me like that there was a daily battle, but then there was this besetting sin, or maybe there was this thing that kept poking its head up. And every time it would come close, all of Israel would run to the side. Is that right? And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and he ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with him, behold, there came up the champion, Philistine of Gath, and Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. Uh-oh. Said the same words, 40 days. No effect. Said it one morning, hoping they would run again. And they did. But there was a wrong person in the crowd. It was fine as long as Israel didn't recognize who they were. It was all right as long as he could keep Israel scared.
It was all right to make those boasts and make those challenges as long as Israel couldn't identify and didn't know what God's will was. But somebody caught a revelation. Somebody caught a revelation. And when somebody catches a revelation, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And he shall be the man who killed him. The king will enrich him with great riches and give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" What shall be done to the man? And taketh away the reproach of Israel? We see here that David's focus is right. Hey, I want to make it to heaven. Is that wrong? There ain't nothing wrong with saying, "Hey, I'm looking forward to sitting back and relaxing and never growing old, not having any worries." There ain't nothing wrong with wanting to know what the rewards are. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But most of all, I want to be able to say, "I was a Christian, and the Lord Jesus Christ, my love, my life, lived through me, that I was enough of a Christian, and I took the reproach of the name Christian away, because I was able to stand in Laodicea. And yes, it was Jesus Christ. Yes, it was His grace. It was all Him. And I'm so glad that I had a part in that." Amen. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living, God?" Who should defy the armies of the living God? Now your revelation is based a whole lot on those last two words. Your ability to overcome is based on those two last words. If your God is dead, you might as well run back with a pack and be sore afraid. But if you got a living God, if you have a God who is pulsating in your chest, who is walking in your skin, who is praying through your lips, who is using your hands, if you have a living God, you'll be able to say, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the army of the living God?" Hallelujah. You've got to know where your rights are. You've got to know who your God is. And you've got to know where He is and if He's living in you. If I have got a dead God, He ain't going to do me a whole lot of good. But if I have a living God, something is bound to happen. Hallelujah.
morning. And the people answered after him this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Now watch this. Watch this. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, his own brother, who was there. His brother was there when he was anointed king. He was right in the message. He was right there the whole time Samuel was dumping the oil on David's head. He was right there. Right there. Hallelujah. Why comest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? And he's taunting him. You're a stinking shepherd. Get that through. I don't care what the prophet said. I don't care how anointed you got. I don't care what your experience was. You're a stinking shepherd. You smell like sheep and you even talk like sheep. Ha! His own brother. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle. Well, what kind of battle was it really? I mean, really? I've come to see this. You're fighting. Big guy steps out. You run away. That's not much of a battle. You're not overcoming nothing. Really? A battle? No. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He just gives them a short little blurb. Look, what have I done? Really? Come on, just leave me alone. And what does he do? And he turned. And he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former matter. I think this is important scripture right here, because we've got a lot of naysayers. We've got a lot of people that surely want to drag us down. We got a lot of people say, well, I don't know what you're fighting for. I don't really know why you're even going on. I think you're just full of yourself. No. I'm full of the living God. And I believe in the promises that he's given me. And I believe what he's told me. You know, it's easy to face a battle when you keep in mind what God's will is for you. So what the devil wants to do is put detractors in. Distractors. He wants to give you impossible situations. He wants to get you so busy that your head is spinning. He wants to keep your mind off what God's will is for you. He wants you to look at other young people. He wants you parents to look at other parents. He wants you preachers to look at other preachers. In any situation, in anything he can do to get your eyes off of what your goal is, what your focus is. Now, let this mind be in you that is also in Christ. Right? So if he can distract our minds, if he can get us in la-la land, then we start looking at the giant. But if we remember, wait a minute, I serve a living God. And he's called me, and he's anointed me, and I'm going to be the queen of heaven. Then there's nothing that'll get us down for very long. So David, he turned. And he went and found somebody that was going to tell him about the promises again. He went and he said, I want to know about what God has promised me. If he's promised me overcoming power, then I'm going to go find somebody else that tells me that there's overcoming power. If he's promised me victory, I'm going to find somebody who says, you're the champ. You're the champ. Amen. Now, when the words he heard were heard, which David spake, they rehearsed him before Saul, and he sent for him.
Amen.
So here we have in the same tent. Here we have in the same tent. Here we have in the same tent. The old king.
Yeah.
And the anointed king. Here we have in the same tent the old king who God has left.
Amen.
And we've got the new king that is anointed. Let me tell you something. I ain't but 35 years old, but I've worked hard all my life, and I'm sore. Sometimes this old tent doesn't feel like it can go much more. And I've been through a lot of things. Maybe not as much as some of you, but I've been through some things.
Yes, sir.
And this old tent sometimes says, why in the world are you going?
Right, amen.
And if every one of you would be honest with yourselves, you don't wake up every day singing zippity-doo-dah. Is that right? Because we're in the same tent. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go out and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. This devil's been doing that to people for 2,000 years. He has been wearing people smack out for 2,000 years. Just wore out. So what does David do? Now, this is the man that's going to, I think David would have won anyway, but he's going to allow David to go out to fight this man. So he couldn't very well turn away and go get encouragement from somebody else. You're living in the same tent. And this old flesh ain't going to encourage you. I wish it would sometimes. I wish it would say, go get him, champ. Show him what you're made of. But you're stuck in the same tent with a naysayer who's running you down, telling you there's no hope. What are you doing? That devil's too big. He's too bad. He's too rough. So what does David do? What does David do? He doesn't go away. He said, well, golly gee, I guess you're right.
No, no, sir.
I'm just a sheep herder.
No, you didn't do that. Awesome.
That guy's really big.
Yeah.
40 days, and none of those other people have been able to overcome him.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
40 days. I mean, who do I think I really am?
That's it.
Who do I mean, oh well, no. He reaches in his pocket and he pulls out experience. He says, hold on, I got some. Oh, there it is. I killed a lion. And I killed a bear. God used me to do that. Now my experience has been, the further along you go, the harder the trials get. Is that right? So, and this isn't always easy, but whenever I'm in a trial, the best way I found to overcome is to start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is getting me ready. Because there's something else the devil's going to throw at me, sure as a world. And one of these days, that trial is going to be a body change. In my experience, upon experience, upon experience, upon experience, is going to build up the faith in my body for it to change. It's going to change. I know God has helped me slay the lion, and I know He's helped me slay the bear. In that experience, plus this experience, I know that a body change can't be that hard. Because it was God then, it's got to be God now. But you got to learn to get something in your armor called experience. Now I'm not saying live life through the rear view mirror. But it's nice to be able to pull that out every now and then and say, you know what, devil? By the word of my testimony, I'm going to go ahead and let you know that this wasn't so hard. So what makes you think that you can overcome me this time? I mean, really? What makes you think that my God is not living anymore? What makes you think that the living God is no longer living? I got news for you. When He was the living God outside of the tent, when I had to face the naysayers, inside the tent, He's still the living God. Yeah.
Don't matter how much you bounce around in the tent. He's still God. It don't matter how much you tell me that I can't do it and it's impossible and this trial's too hard. He's still the living God. And if I had something to do with it in the first place, guess what? Maybe you'd have something. But I didn't the first time and I'm not going to this time. I'm just going to step behind the living God and let Him move. Hallelujah.
I gotta hurry. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with his coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. Now, I just got through talking about David pulled out his experience. And now, the one that just told me that I would never make it, that this guy was a warrior from his youth and I'm just a youth, is going to try and arm me with my own ability, with my own strength. My own Mr. Fix-It. And we spend so much time fixing God's problems. Is that right? Look, David didn't run up and find Samuel and say, anoint me, anoint me. So if David was supposed to be king and he knew that he was king and it was God's will for him to be king.
Right.
Let me say that again.
Yes, sir.
If it was God's will for David to be king and David had nothing to do with it. He didn't go looking for it. He didn't run around and say, pick me, pick me. Then guess what? It's God's obligation to make sure that David was a king. It was God's job to make sure that David was a king. He was chosen. God picked him. Hallelujah. You talk about armor. You talk about something. Not only is he in the same tent, but he's got the living God and he's got that armor on him. He says, wait a minute. I don't need your experience, Saul. I don't need the fact that you're able to whatever. I've got the living God.
Amen.
And he told me I was going to be king.
Amen.
So I'm going to be king.
Amen.
That overgrown ogre has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Nothing to do with it. I'm to be king.
Amen.
If he chops me up into little bitty pieces, I'm still going to be king. If I'm a lump of mush on the throne, I'm going to be king. Sometimes we feel like we're a lump of mush. We feel like there ain't no hope. We feel like the devils are just knocking us dead. We're just limp and wore out. And we're laying on the ground. But that don't change the fact. If God wants to make me a lump and set me on the throne, I'm still going to be on the throne. Hallelujah. I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a script. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Can you imagine his brother? Oh, no. David, where's your sword? David, what are you doing? You're embarrassing me. And David said, I'm going to be king. I'm going to be king. This is what I know. Lion, bear, sling. This is what I got. I'm still the king. Now, it doesn't mean that David never put a sword in his hand. But for his walk and his experience, a sling was what fit him. A sling is what he knew. Don't go out there with a sword if all you know is a sling. I got to hurry, otherwise I'd stop there for a while. Let's jump down to verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth in a ruddy and a fair countenance. So Goliath, his devil, had 3 things that were said about David by 3 different people. He was ruddy. He was a mama's boy. Fair countenance. And just a youth. So these things were true about David. But he forgot one. He forgot one. He forgot that he was going to be king. He forgot that he was going to be king. Because I imagine if Goliath said, this is a youth, his countenance is fair, he's ready, he's going to be king. Goliath might have been the one running. But you see, we're supposed to put the devils under our feet. So they can't run. Hallelujah. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That did him a lot of good. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I am come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. Now, Goliath is probably scratching his head. 40 days. Israel, you're saying you come to me with a God of Israel. I've been here 40 days, man. Where have you been? And in Lady of Sea, I imagine the devil's running around. You say your message. You say you believe the word.
Come on now.
You're just like the other armies. But every now and then, I come across a king. And that king puts his foot on the throat. Hallelujah. And they're going, what? What? Wait a minute. We got to get this guy slain. Kid's got school. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and I will take thine head from thee. Wait a minute. He's got a sling. What's he going to do? Saw it off? And I will give the carcass to the host of the Philistines this day and to the fowls of the air. He says, look, I'm not going to stop with you, bud. You're the biggest target. But there's a bunch of little guys that are cowering behind you. There's a bunch of little guys that ain't got much going for them either. Because I'm the king. And I know once I kill you, a bunch of devils are going to run. But they ain't going to get away either. They can't run fast enough, far enough. They can't hide well enough. I'm the king. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Amen.
Not that David's something special.
No.
Not that David is the king. But the God. That God. Amen. Is God in Israel. Amen. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear. For the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine rose and he came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. David didn't hang back and wait till the devil came to him. Now, this is a key into overcoming. A lot of times we shudder in fear knowing that this is where the devil's got us before. This is where the devil's got us before. And we sit back and we back down. And we back down.
Come on now. Preaching now.
And we say the devil's been here before. The devil's... And your faith has been up to a level for so long. And you can go right up to the battle. You go right up to the battle, right up to the point of truth. And you don't run towards the enemy. Fearless.
Amen.
I imagine this Philistine didn't know what to think. Everybody else he ever faced played defense. Watched to dodge a sword. Dodge a spear. There's this little guy with a sling running right at me. This little guy is not going to sit back and wait for me to take the first swing. The second to last thing that passed through Goliath's mind was, uh-oh. Because you know what the last thing was. A stone. A stone. Hallelujah. He ran towards the Philistine. And he was able to overcome. He didn't sit back. Let's stand. He didn't sit back and wait. He said, devil, I serve the living God. I'm going to be king and your head is rolling.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knew he was going to be king. He knew what God's will was. Now, that's just scratched the surface of the thought. But what we've got to understand what God's will is for our lives.
Amen.
And when we can focus in on that and not all this exterior,
right.
Not all these doubters, not all these ones that try and pull us down, not all these that are falling away.
Yes, sir.
But we get our eyes on the prize.
Amen.
We can lock into the goal. We ain't worried about this one or that one. Look, I love you, Brother Tim. But guess what? My love affair is with Jesus Christ. And I'm counting on Jesus Christ. And I don't believe you're going anywhere. But if you do, say la vie. I'm going on. I'll pray for you. I ain't never giving up on you. But I'm going to keep stepping. I'm running towards the enemy. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Victory is Mine. Amen. Oh, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. I told Satan, get thee behind. favorite scripture is, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And the reason that that's my favorite scripture is simply because I know you can't be discouraged and be joyous at the same time. You can't be sorrowful and joyous at the same time. I've never been defeated and happy about it at the same time. So we keep that joy in our heart, that happiness in our heart. If we focus on that joy, let it live in us. Then we got victory. We got faith. We got overcoming power. Amen. Amen. Let's sing, I'm Amazed. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed that you care through your precious blood. I found pardon and my sins are washed. They're all washed away. All my sins are washed away. I'm amazed.
Thank you.
Just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, how great you are, Lord. Father, Lord, it's times like these, Father, that I feel so humbled, Lord, that you would be so concerned about your children, Father. That you would come down, Lord, and you would minister to needs, and you would speak to a frail human, through a frail human, Lord. And Lord Jesus, we're honored to be in your presence tonight, Father. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you would help us to take the words that were spoken this evening, Lord. And Lord Jesus, may we realize, Father, that you have made us royalty, Father. And there's nothing that can hold us back. There's nothing that can keep us from it, Lord. But we have to just keep our eyes on the prize. We have to keep our eyes focused on you, Lord. And we have to trust in what you've given us, Lord. And this word is more than able, Father, to carry us through. And you're more than able, Father God, to keep instilling this word in our lives, Lord, until it pushes out and pushes out and pushes out, Father, until that great day when you call us home. Father God, I pray that you just be with each and every one, Lord. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, just take these words, Lord. And we don't want to just hear it in the service and leave it here, Father. But Lord Jesus, we want to take a home with us and chew on it, Lord, and chew on it, Lord Jesus, until it becomes reality, Father God, for us. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've done, Lord. Oh, Father God, how sweet you are, Lord. How we love you, Lord Jesus. How we thank you, Father God. How we lift you up in praise, Lord. Lord, it's not hard to praise you, Lord. It's just hard to praise you enough, Lord. Oh, Father God, how we lift you up and how we thank you, Lord. How we love you, Lord Jesus. You're a mighty King, Lord. And you've called us to be partners with you, Lord. You've made a way for us, Lord. How we thank you for it, Lord. I pray that you be with each one, Lord. We thank you for it, Lord Jesus. In your precious name, amen. Amen. Let's sing it as we go. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you came through your precious blood to a bound promise. And my sins are washed, they're all washed away. That you love.